question that I want to pose this morning is, who are you? Who are you? And before the service, somebody, because it's printed on the front of the bulletin, you might have picked that up. Who are you? That's where Brian's going. You might have picked it up. And somebody came to me and said, who's asking the question? Thank you for asking me that question. Because it's important that you know who needs to answer this question. I'm asking the question, but you need to answer the question for yourself. I don't need to know the answer, but I really want you to go out this morning knowing a little bit more about you, yourself, who you are. Because I really believe that we come against things, we face challenges in our lives, and because we don't fully understand who we are, we sometimes don't navigate them well. And so this morning, I really want to challenge you, who are you? And answer that for yourself. So I want to tell you a little bit about who I am this morning. Who I am. So my great-great-grandfather, Robert Henderson, married Anne Robson in 1814. They were married and lived in a place called Newcastle. Huh. Would you believe? And they had a whole lot of children, as was customary in 1814. But one of the children, Mary Horton Henderson, was born to them, 1879. And somewhere between 1881, the census of 1881, and 1891, Mary went from being the children of Anne and Robert to being listed with Jane and William Henderson, her uncle. And apparently it was a common thing back then that if you didn't have enough money to look after the children, you gave them to somebody else to look after. And then, sometimes between 1891, Mary Horton Henderson traveled, 1891 and 1900, she traveled from England and arrived in South Africa. And it was unusual because she wasn't married and she had two children. Yeah, I know. You thought that was a scandal in 1980. Well, in 1881, I don't know what happened, and we don't know what happened, but she arrived in South Africa. She met a man called Christian James Henry Smith, and they got married. It is interestingly enough, back in Newcastle, old Robert Henderson, my great-great-grandfather, he was what they called a cartman. He was good with horses. If you know anything about Brian, he's not good with horses. In actual fact, me and horses, I sometimes think they just sent to torment me. But anyway, so that's interesting. He was a cartman back then. Then William Henderson, who Mary was staying with, he was a metal cleaner. Guess what he did? He cleaned metal, yeah. Christian James Henry was married to Mary Horton Henderson, and Christian was a storeman and a signalman on the railways. They were married in 1879. That's my great-grandfather. Their one child, Cecil Smith, was married to Eileen de Villiers. And I have got some de Villiers Marsdorp in my lineage. Oh, okay. Okay. I actually, on that side of the family, I've got some Compans as well. And I've got the Reverend Compans. So my mom always used to say, hey, some of that filtered through to me. But Cecil, he was an accountant. Don't know where that went wrong. I don't have any accountant bones in my body. But Cecil, my grandfather, was married to Eileen in 1931. And their one child, Roy Christian Smith, that was my dad. He was married to Louisa Olga Dart in 1963. And then in 1966, Brian was born. My dad was a technical training manager of Barlow's Appliance Company, very good with his hands, very good at making and creating stuff. And so I didn't get the Cartman stuff. That kind of fell by the wayside. But I didn't get that accounting thing either. Sorry, my love. But definitely the name Smith carries with it a trade that we worked with our hands. And that's very true still of me today. And maybe you can see it in my approach to how I preach. I try and be as practical as possible because that's who I am. I'm a practical kind of guy, and I've inherited that from my family. Also, remember a lot of things that my dad said, and two things that have always stuck with me. He would always say, measure once, cut twice, measure twice, cut once. Have you ever heard that? Very true saying. He also used to say, if you are 5 minutes early, you're still 10 minutes late. Back in the day, it was right to arrive somewhere 15 minutes before the time. It was polite and right. And if you just arrived 5 minutes before, you were still 10 minutes late. Anyway, so that's why I think I like to be on time. I've got that from my father. So that's who I am. But more than that, when I ask the question, who are you? It's important to know those things about yourself. But it's more important to know about the other lineage that is part of your DNA. That comes from your heavenly Father, Almighty God. So just as I have got things in me that I inherited from my father and from my family, you have got things, we have got things that we inherit from Almighty God. When we say, Lord, I want to follow you, I want to be part of your family, we become his children. We've got stuff from Almighty God that's a part of us. So when I ask the question, who are you? I want you to look at it from that point of view. Who am I because of Almighty God? What has he said? He didn't say measure once, cut twice. But what has he said that's critical to me? He said a lot of stuff. And we need to weave that into the answer of who am I? Who are you? I want to go to this awesome scripture, Romans 8, 1 to 17. If you've got your Bible, you'll know that's in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. And I'd encourage you to underline three things this morning as I unpack them, because I think they're critical to answering the question, who are you? I'm trying to encourage people to bring Bibles, so I'm going to wait for the page turning to stop. Then I know that we're all in the right place. Follow along if you've got your Bible. It's going to be up on the screen for today. If you don't have your Bible, you're not going to miss out. This is the word of the Lord. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful man is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. How far was I going to go? 17. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Meditate on that during the week, because I believe there's a lot that I will cover, but I believe there's a lot that I might not cover, and God wants to say a lot out of his scripture. The first place we start then, no condemnation. One of my favorite scriptures of all times. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's important that we understand the difference between what condemnation is and what conviction is, so that we fully understand what the scripture is saying. Condemnation is when you step out of line and you have a overwhelming sense of failure. The voice in your head says, you have messed up again. You are useless. You are not good. You're not a good Christian. Your Heavenly Father will never forgive you. That is condemnation. It is not of God. So when the scripture says there is therefore now no condemnation, that's what the scripture is telling us. Those things that we feel and hear are not of God. God does it like this. He convicts us of our sin. Remember he said, I will send one into the world who will convict the world of sin, the Holy Spirit. Conviction sounds like this. What you did was wrong. I am pursuing you with all my heart. You are my precious child and I want the best for you. Stop that. Come back to me. Repent. Follow me. I love you. That is conviction. It's not a heaviness without any way out. It's when God calls to us and says, wait a second. I've got better for you. I've got way better for you. Follow me. Stay with me. Stick close to me. So when the scripture says there's now no condemnation, it's saying there's none of that other stuff. We will know when we've done wrong and God will call us back to him and he will help us to work through it. And we can give us our stuff to him, the stuff that's not of him. We can give it to him and we can make right. So we start there. Who are you? You are victorious. You are somebody who is free. Who's not beaten down. Who has a way to make right the stuff that's not right in your life. Even if you're following Christ, we still do things that are not right. And he still grabs us and says, wait, whoa, come on, better for you, better for you. Come on, leave that, follow me. What is my plan for you? Find it. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are set free from sin by the sin offering made by Jesus Christ for us. So to be set free from sin, that there is no condemnation, is a very big deal. And you need to grab onto that with both arms and just live that. Live no condemnation. Live free from sin. The second thing that's really important is children of God. Romans 8 verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. When I say, Lord, I want to follow you. There was a moment in my life when I said that prayer and I said, Lord, I want to follow you. Take away the rubbish in my life. At that moment, the scripture tells me that I became a child of God. I admire my Father. I really do. But my Heavenly Father, he's out of this world. You know, you guys are so tough this morning. Hey, who are you? You're a child of Almighty God. Just imagine that for a moment. Hey, he wraps his arm around you and he walks with you and he's like, hey, my boy. Hey, my girl. Just imagine what today is going to look like. Hey, I wrap my arm around my children. I love my children. I journey with them. I tell them, hey, not that, not that. Try this. You can do better. Well done. Same with God, hey. Who are you? You are a precious, precious child of God. We can call him Father. What an honor and a privilege. We don't call him deity far away who is disconnected and far removed. No. Father. Father God. Just want to set something straight real quickly. There's that line in Romans 8:15, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Just quickly to point that out. Abba is a Aramaic word. And when you read it in the Greek translation, it reads like that. Abba, ho, patre. Patre is father. or is the. Abba the Father. It wasn't that the translators didn't know how to translate Abba. They weren't like, oh, I don't know what this means. No, it means Abba, and every time we find it in New, it means Father. Every time we find it in the New Testament, we find the words Father just after that. The translator, all the other words that Jesus spoke are actually spoken in Aramaic, and they're translated into Greek. But the translators saw fit to leave this word. In actual fact, the English translation should be, and we cry Abba, and then in brackets, Father. It's not like we go, Father, 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 Father. No, we just go, Father. And it's not either that we cry, some translators or some popular names are Daddy. Daddy. That's a child's name. The reason they left Abba here, if it was meant to be Daddy, they weren't doff. They would have translated it Daddy, Father. But they didn't. They left it Abba because it's an intimate father-son way of connecting. It doesn't mean Daddy. Because that's how a child would address a father. But it's more an intimate. They don't know why. We don't know why. So if somebody says, oh, no, we know exactly why. No, they don't know why. But it's a place where we've got to say, it was put in there and was left for a reason. And the reason is because he's our Heavenly Father, and it's important that we recognize him as that. Some people had bad, bad experiences with their fathers. God is nothing like that. Some people had good experiences with their fathers. God is nothing like that. He's better than all of that. He's way better than all of that. Who are you? Important. You're a person who has been forgiven of your sin, no condemnation, and you're a child of Almighty God. Vital that we grab that. I really believe that if we start to understand who we are in relation, that's why the fingerprint on the front has got a little cross superimposed. You saw that, I hope. We made it quite obvious. Because I believe if we understand who we are in Christ, a lot of the stuff that we get stuck on, we won't get stuck on. Our identity in Christ is so incredibly awesome that we would not get stuck on some of the stuff if we just said, wait a second, I'm without sin. I'm a child of Almighty God the Father. Then the third thing, Romans 8:17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. The writer is telling us that because we have no sin in our lives, because there's no condemnation, because God is our Father, we inherit something. We inherit eternal life because of this incredible Father. We are heirs and co-heirs. So just for a moment, think about God as king. Often in the Psalms we read, Psalm 47 for instance, we read this, the great king over all the earth, or sing praises to our king, or for God is the king of all the earth. We know that God is king, and if we are heirs and co-heirs along with Christ, then that makes us quite unique. We are royalty. You don't have to buy a cup with the Queen's photograph on it. That's not as important as knowing that my Heavenly Father is King over all the world. And we are heirs and co-heirs. So not only is he King, but when I look at it, if we are heirs and co-heirs, then we are princes and princesses. Yeah, we are saints. You know that in the New Testament, there is nowhere. Now, you've heard people say, oh, I'm a sinner that's saved by grace. You've heard that, hey? You know, in the New Testament, when people came to Christ, they never referred to themselves like that. They referred to themselves as saints. They never said, oh, we're sinners, but thank goodness we just made it because of Christ. No, they say we are saints. They didn't take a negative view and work from there. They work from, who am I in Christ? I'm a saint. I'm an heir, a co-heir. Who are you? No condemnation. God is your father. You're a child of Almighty God. And now, whoa, heirs and co-heirs. Should have had little tiaras and stuff, hey, like for us. We could have all walked out here. Yeah. Imagine for a moment. Oh, so this is a big deal. Okay, these are all big deals for me. In the question, who are you? You might have seen it flash up on the screen. Poor Pete doesn't know where I'm going. It's like, Brian, it says something else. I'm sorry, Pete. But just imagine for a moment that Bill Gates passes away and you get a phone call. We all get these phone calls all the time. But this is a real phone call to say that you are the sole heir of Bill Gates's fortune. Huh? And that number, you know, 0800, this is for real, at Nigeria. You know that? That's a real email address somewhere. Sorry, Nigerian folk. But anyway, he's left everything to you. What an incredible window of opportunity. So you need to be awake when you come to church. Just saying. And what do you do? What will you do? Knowing that it is real, that you really are an heir to that fortune. Will you phone up and say, hey, yeah, here's my bank account details. Make the deposit. I'll have everybody lining up to have their ID certified. Brian. But sometimes as Christians, we don't do that. We are heirs and co-heirs of Almighty God, but we just go, yeah, kind of live the same as I've always lived. Just imagine that money arrives in your account and you just never spend it. Hey, I once heard a story of a guy who back in the 1800s saved up all of his money to go on a boat cruise. Saved up his money. He was like, woo. And he just had enough eventually. He was a common kind of guy. Most probably, you know, Mary Horton Henderson's dad or something. You know, just a guy that liked horses. Anyway. And he saves up everything he's got and he goes on this cruise. But after about 3 days, he's absolutely starving. Because he hasn't had anything to eat. He only had enough money just for the ticket. And he sees everybody else and they look okay. I don't look unhappy. He's really hungry. And somebody says to him, well, why are you not eating? He says, why? I didn't have enough money for food. They said, no. The food's included in the ticket price. These things are included. When we said, Almighty God, be Lord of my life. Boom. No condemnation. Boom. Children of Almighty God. Heirs and co-heirs. You see, if we start to live like this, our lives will be different. Who are you? Who are you? You are special. You are awesome. Okay, I'm going to give it to you. This is going to come fast, okay? We have been saved. We have been justified. We have been sanctified, adopted, brought near. We have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, seated in the heavenly places, given the keys to the kingdom. We've been given spiritual gifts. We've been given a ring of authority. We've been given sandals, a robe. And we've been given a place of authority. There's a party that has been thrown for us. We have at our disposal a belt of truth, a breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel, a shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We are heirs and co-heirs with Christ, and we will appear with him in glory. We are sons of the King. We are daughters of the King. Thank you. We are no longer sinners, but saints. We have a new Father in heaven. We have a new identity, a new supernatural identity, an eternal identity. We are new creations. We are given the free gift of grace. This is a big deal. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we come to you humbly now and we say, we love you, Lord. thank you for the honor and the privilege that we can say there is now no condemnation in us, Lord. Thank you that you sent your son to the cross, that he died and rose again, that as we give him the sin, we have no more sin in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you set us free from the sin, from death, that you set us free from condemnation. Thank you, Lord, that you are now our Heavenly Father, that we are your children. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the honor and the privilege that we can say, you are our Father. Help us to just understand how big that really is, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are heirs and co-heirs. That one day we will be with you in eternity. And now we are part of your kingdom. Lord, that we are saints, that we are set apart. Thank you, Lord. Help us to rewrite the words in our head, answering the question, who we are. Help us to know more fully your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you, Lord. Help us, we pray, Lord. In your mighty name, amen.